Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Spiritual freedom always asks this question: will this build others up, or will it become a stumbling block to people?
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, I'm Mark Job. Welcome to Straight Talk. We're in a season right now leading up to, well, the Super Bowl of Christianity. We call it Resurrection Sunday or Easter. It's a time where millions of people throughout the world pause and remember the most significant event in history, which is when Jesus Christ defeated death and sin, and he went into that grave for 3 days. But the greatest thing about him going into the grave is on the third day. Yeah, 3 days later, the grave could not hold the Son of God down. He resurrected with power and authority and reigns on high at the right hand of the throne of God. So we celebrate resurrection of Jesus Christ on Easter Sunday. I want to challenge you, if you live around the Chicagoland area, northern Indiana, Wisconsin, whoever's hearing my voice today, I want to challenge you to make the most of your Easter. We've discovered that this is a time of the year where a lot of people who normally do not go to church, well, they feel like they need to go somewhere, do something religious. And my experience has been that most people, if they're invited, will have a positive response during the Easter season. So why not make sure that you invite someone to the church you attend? Make sure that you don't let this opportunity go by leading up to Easter, not inviting people that are really looking for somewhere to go. I want you to think right now of three people that you need to invite to church with you. Think of them. Three people that are on your most wanted list. Maybe it's a prodigal that hasn't been to church in a long time, but the Holy Spirit has been working on their heart. Maybe it's someone that is not a believer yet, and you may think that they're not even open, but the Holy Spirit may have been working on their heart, awakening them with the spiritual hunger. Or maybe it's someone that needs to be revived. I call it reborn, restore, or revive. I have my 10-person most wanted list that I've been praying for during these weeks leading up to Easter, that God would work in their lives. So I want to challenge you, make the most of your Easter season. Reach out to someone. It could maybe just be that this Easter, they will experience their own personal resurrection. Let's get ready for today's program.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called Out of Control, and today's message is entitled Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances. Our text will be found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. Here's Pastor Mark.
Our series has been entitled Out of Control, and we've been looking at chapters 8 through 10 of 1 Corinthians, as the Apostle Paul talks to a people that lived in a city much like ours. Corinth was a large metropolitan area, and the people that were coming to the church had come out of pretty much the streets. They had no Christian background, no Christian culture, no Christian upbringing, and so they had become Christians and were now gathering together in a community of faith. But they were bringing a lot of their baggage into the church, and they were still trying to figure out what it meant to live for Christ. And they had spent so many years outside of the church and so many years in the world that they were bringing a lot of baggage into the church. And the Apostle Paul is writing to them because, to a large extent, their lives were somewhat out of control, even though they were Christians. And he talks to them really about how to bring their lives in alignment with the control of God. So chapters 8 through 10 talk a lot about freedom and a lot about choices and a lot about making the right decisions when we're faced with different choices. And we're ending this series with verses 23 through 33. And I believe that Paul's main focus in this is spiritual freedom in questionable situations. This is really about making the right choices. I don't know about you, but have you ever had to make a tough, tough choice? You found yourself at a crossroads and you say, I could go this way, I could go that way. This way looks pretty good, but that way looks pretty good too. I'm thinking about over here, but I'm also thinking about over there. And I'm not really sure if this is the best or if that's the best. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where you're faced with hard choices and you know that one way is the best way, but it's hard for you to figure out which one of those is really the right way. And this is really about the gray areas of life in which we have to make choices and making the right choices, because a lot of us blow it. We know the black and white issues, but we blow it in the gray. And the Apostle Paul begins by saying this. This is sort of a theme that follows throughout almost the entire book of 1 Corinthians, verse 23. He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever's put before you without raising question of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience' sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not your own. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. The big theme the Apostle Paul is talking about is how to use our freedom in questionable situations, how to make the right choices in questionable situations. Principle number one, spiritual freedom always asks this question: will this build others up? Or will it become a stumbling block to people? Notice what he says. Everything is permissible. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. In fact, just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean you should make the choice to do it. How many of you know some certain things You can do, you have the right to do, you're able to do, but you shouldn't necessarily do? And that's the point that the Apostle Paul is making. He says, hey, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek his own good, but the good of others. Here's the thing. When you have given your life to Jesus Christ and you belong to God, you can't just ask yourself this question of what do I want to do? You have to ask yourself this question, what does God want me to do? Now, there's a lot of things that aren't permissible in Scripture. And most of us know what those things are. The Ten Commandments list them out, right? I think most of us don't have to pray about, oh, whether should I commit this murder or not? Oh, Lord, not sure. No, we're pretty sure about that. Black and white, don't. Don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't have idols, don't murder, don't be covetous. I mean, those things are pretty clear to most of us, okay? But it's those other areas that aren't so clear. It's those gray areas that we can do, but we're not sure we should do. It's those areas that involve, well, I know I could date her, but really, should I date her? I know I can watch this movie, but should I watch it? I know I can tell this joke, but really, should I tell that joke? Hey, I know I can say these words, but should I really say those words? I know I can use my money this way, but should I really use my money that way? I mean, it's legal. I can. I have the right to do it. No one's going to arrest me because of it. But that's not the question. The question is not, can you do it? The question is it really what you need to be doing? Is it really what you should be doing? And so the Apostle Paul gives a couple litmus tests here in which he says, you need to ask yourself this question when you're dealing with some of these issues. You need to ask yourself this question is what I'm doing beneficial to others? And is what I do, is what I'm doing building up of others? You see, the Apostle Paul ties it into our relationship with others, because I want you to hear me well. Listen, no man or woman is an island unto themselves. Every decision you make has collateral damage. Everybody understand the term collateral damage? They use it in war a lot. A bomb is sent, it's going to hit this target, but in the process, houses around are destroyed, and the military says, well, that was not the intended target, it was collateral damage. Do you realize that your life is connected with other people? You say, oh, it's my choice, it's my life. Oh yeah, it's your choice and it's your life, but you realize that your life affects others. And what you do in your life has repercussions in your marriage, in your children, in your friends, in your family, in your relationships, because none of us are isolated. We all have influence and effect upon other people's lives. And so therefore, one of the questions we should be asking ourselves is, hey, how does this affect other people around me? Well, let me give you an illustration of that. For example, someone says, hey, I love to go out and have a nice Italian meal cooked in olive oil. And with every Italian meal that I have, I like to have a nice glass of wine, because you see, it cuts the grease a little bit and it just tastes better, because, hey, how can you have an Italian meal without having a nice glass of wine? And so in your conscience, you say, hey, it's permissible. Jesus had wine. It's okay. It's not an issue. It doesn't affect me. And so you're a believer, you're mentoring, you have a friend, and you invite him out to eat with you, and he goes out to eat with you. But see, your friend has 5 months of sobriety. 5 months. And he's maintained that sobriety by going to 12-step programs like 4 days out of the week, talking to a sponsor. I mean, he's on the edge. He's maintained it, but he's grabbing onto his sobriety, barely hanging onto his sobriety. But hey, he's made 5 months. He's proud of it. He's excited, but he's right on the edge.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances, which is from our series called Out of Control. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 through 33. Our message is called Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances.
And so he goes out with you, and he respects you as a Christian who has a Bible, who knows how to pray, who quotes Bible verses, who raises his hand in worship services, and you have all that down, and he thinks, hey, you're really mature, I love you, I respect you, I want to be like you. And he sits down at this nice Italian meal, and when it comes time to drink, you have a little Italian meal, and you say, pour a cup of wine. And you grab that cup of wine, and you just like, I'm enjoying my nice Italian meal with a nice glass of wine, and it's so Italian. Now, what you don't understand, and what you should understand, is that, yeah, you have the right to have that glass of wine. Oh, it's permissible. You're over 18. You can have it. You're not violating their conscience, his conscience, any conscience. You're just having something that's very innocent, something that's very very normal. Maybe you grew up in that tradition. Maybe it's happened all your life. And there's really, really no problem with it in your mind. But hello, hold on. Stop a second. Put the button on pause. Because this guy that's been struggling with sobriety for 5 months is sitting there with his Italian meal. And you say, it always tastes better with a little cup of wine. And he thinks to himself, well, this brother knows the Bible, loves Jesus, prays in church. I respect him. He's doing this. I mean, I guess, hey, he's doing it. It should be okay for me to do it as well. So he says to himself, only one little cup. I mean, after all, if Brother Joe is having a cup, it should be okay for me to have a cup. And so he says, okay, make that another one as well. And so he takes that little glass of wine, but here's the problem. You see, he has a whole background of addiction. He's got a whole background of bondage in that area. And as you know, if you have a background of bondage or addiction, that it doesn't just stop with one. Because then it's, hey, fill it up. This is really greasy, this food. I need another one. And so he's got another one and another one. And then when he leaves and goes out, he gets another one. And before you know, he's fallen off the wagon, back in his addiction, major stumbling block. Why? Is it your fault? You say, it's not my fault. I had freedom. I had liberty. I could do it. It's my right. It's okay for me to do. That's his problem, not my problem. Paul says, hold on a second, because you should be asking yourself this question, not can I do it, but you should be asking yourself this question: how is what I do affecting the people around me? Because your liberty can lead to someone else's stumbling. You say, I got freedom. Your freedom leads to someone else's bondage. Your freedom leads to someone else's stumbling. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is that even though it's permissible, even though you have the right to do it, you need to ask yourself, how does this affect people around me? And if it affects people in a destructive way, if it becomes a stumbling block to other people, then I should refuse to do it. That's what Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says. It says, for brothers, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Hey, you've been called to freedom, but there's a thin line between freedom and license. Anybody awake with me this afternoon? A thin line between freedom and carnality. A thin line between I can do it, and yet this is really indulging my flesh. You see, what religious institutions do and what the Pharisees did is the Pharisees would fall into legalism. You know what legalism is? Legalism is a cheap substitute for maturity. Legalism is rules upon rules to explain the rules. Here's the rules, but I'm going to write more rules in order for you to understand the rules that I've given you. And if you keep all these rules that are given to you, then you can feel like you're holy. And those people that don't keep the rules, you can look at them and say, you're not as holy as I am. You see, some of you came up under legalism where all you were taught is the do's and don'ts. And it turned you off towards religion and Christianity because all you saw was people that kept the rules but had no heart like Jesus. Some of you were burned out by legalism because legalism doesn't breed life. The Spirit breeds life. The law leads to death. The Spirit leads to life. The Pharisees were so religious that they had rules to follow the rules of the Old Testament. And they had a book called the Torah that is a very thick volume that had all kinds of rules about how to interpret the Old Testament and follow the rules of the Old Testament. For example, the Mosaic Law, the Old Testament says that the Sabbath is a day of rest. And so the Pharisees believed that the Sabbath, you weren't allowed to do any work at all. I've told you this before, but they made rules to make sure that you kept the rule of not working. And one of the rules was to ensure that you would not work. They said, well, on the Sabbath, you're not allowed to look into the mirror. Because if you look into a mirror, you may look into a mirror and see a gray hair. Now, that never happens to me. But some may look into the mirror and see a gray hair. And when they see a gray hair, this is before the times of nice dyes that we have today, they look into the mirror and see a gray hair, they think, makes me look old. So I am tempted to pluck that gray hair so that I will not look older and they may be tempted to pluck a hair. And if they plucked a hair, that would be considered work. So therefore, and they'd be violating the Sabbath. So therefore, they made the rule of you shall not look at a mirror on the Sabbath because you may be tempted to see a gray hair and pluck that gray hair, then you would be working. So now the rule is no mirrors on the Sabbath. Seriously, I'm not making this up. Another rule that they had is that you couldn't spit on the Sabbath. Because in order to make mud and to do bricks, you'd have to mix mortar, mud, and water together and in order to make bricks. And so if you spit, you're kind of mixing water with mud, and it is kind of like mortar a little bit. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you'd get tempted to spit a lot and make some mud and do a brick. So they said, no spitting on the Sabbath. So they made rules to keep the rules. You know, some of you have grown up in traditions where you went to places or churches that they would say to you, okay, your hair can be this long, and your skirt has to be this long, and accepted here but not accepted there, and you can wear some makeup or not a lot, you can wear earrings or not a lot, you can shave your legs or not shave your legs. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you were raised in those kind of things. Most people that were raised in that, in those environments that I know, most of them left God. And then they come back to God via the door of grace. Because if all you have is rules, then you're always going to feel like a failure, because how many of you know we can't measure up to the rules? And if you do well at keeping the rules, then you get full of pride and self-righteousness and lose the heart of Jesus and become like a Pharisee. So the alternative to spiritual maturity is legalism. And what the Apostle Paul is trying to say is that in the gray areas, you have to exercise discernment. It's easier to give people rules, but the mature people exercise discernment and they ask themselves, is what I'm doing beneficial to others or not beneficial to others? By the way, can I tell you, parents, as you're raising your children, just a little word of advice. Some of you are really good at setting rules, and I think children should have rules. But the older the children get, the more you need to teach your children to make right choices. Because listen to me, they will not always live at home. And if all you give them is rules, and they're saying, I can't wait to get out from under these rules, and you haven't taught them to make choices, then as soon as they go off to college or somewhere else where no one is telling them what the rules are, then they go wild because they've never learned to make choices. All they've known is rules, but not values and choices. Hello, parents. Talk to your children about their choices. Help them understand what are right choices. Let them feel the consequences of wrong choices in their life. But hopefully you're raising your children to release them. You're raising your children to have ingrained values that no matter where they're at, no matter what setting they are, they have a compass inside of them that helps make right choices, because they're not following a set of rules, but they've been taught to discern. They've been taught to embrace certain values that are theirs, and they apply those values to whatever situation in life they're in. That's how you raise mature kids. The second principle that the Apostle Paul gives us in this chapter is I would verbalize it this way. The second principle is this: spiritual freedom flows in thanksgiving but avoids offending someone else's conscience. Look at what it says in verse 25. It says, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever's put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if he says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience sake, the other man's conscience, I mean, not yours.
The name of this series is called Out of Control, and this has been a message entitled Doing the Right Thing in Questionable Circumstances. Please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of this message.
As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's Pastor Mark Jobe, JOBE.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.